As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, and it's time for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, March the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Once again, good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. Again, we're going to be very short on news today. I'm still running naked as it is. Sans the laptop while it's in the shop for virus removal. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become a vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, simply call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news most days by email. However, right now my email box is closed while the computer is being repaired. But as we love to do every single day, once again, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your listening, local listening audiences. And, of course, there's still the old-fashioned way. You can send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, E-X-E-T-E-R, Mo, the big Mo, 65647. And I'll receive those letters and cards and DVDs and certainly be thankful to do that. Our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Again, you might jot that down with a ballpoint pen on the palm of your hand. That way you could call in whenever you feel so disposed. Let's get into our market report for Thursday, March the 11th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago, gold was off $4.60. Big hammering going on in the market this morning. Everything's turning up red. But gold was off $4.60. Could certainly have gone lower. May very well go lower. And trading at $1,103.60 an ounce. Silver lost 11 cents in early trading at $16.92 an ounce. Platinum off 13 at $1,580 an ounce. And palladium off 14 at $448 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,099.50 for a low, $1,111.40 for a high. There's a bunch of 11s for you on the 11th of March of 2010. Well, at $1,103.60, your gold is up, however, $205.90 year to year for a 22.95% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, those boys in London set the price at $1,106. We're trading below that now. A little bit of a news note here. The SPDR gold shares has sold off about 0.61 tons overnight. From the time we reported on it yesterday morning until the time we're reporting on it this morning, right now they claim to be holding 1,115.51 tons for a value of about $40.18 billion, but they did sell off 0.61 tons, and we may see that affecting the market today. We'll be back.
A Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, March the 11th of 2010, to our broadcast of Become Vocal Local, just getting underway here this morning. We come to you live Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's go ahead and close out that market report for Thursday. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, active trading in New York City found gold off $4.60. Trading at $1,103.60. Silver was off 11 at $16.92. Platinum was down 13 at $15.80. And palladium off 14 at $4.48. And the SPDR Gold Trust, again, if you take a look, maybe those of you out there that are listening on the internet could open up the browser and look at kitco.com. That's www.kitco, not K-O. That'll take you to a false site, but C-O, www.kitco.com. And you can see on the right-hand side near the top of that page a 24-hour gold chart. Click on that to enlarge it, and as you look back over the last couple of days, what you'll see are these waterfall-like events. In other words, there's these straight-line drops. They might have little jigs and jogs in them, but typically they're just straight-line drops, and they occur about 20 and 30 minutes apart, typically. I read a lengthy blog on that exchange-traded fund practices, which is where I picked up the term waterfall. Apparently that's what they use, is a waterfall-like event when they have sell-offs inside of the market on the exchange-traded funds. Well, all of that has had some kind of an impact, perhaps, on the price of gold. The rest of the news out there is anybody's guess. It's like going to a casino, and you're going to play blackjack or something. You sit down to the game, you know the game, you know the rules, you know your odds. But you're going to bet based upon whatever color the dealer might be wearing that morning. In other words, it has nothing to do with the game. It has nothing to do with the odds. It has nothing to do with the market. It's just by whatever color the shirt is that the dealer might be wearing. And that's kind of the marketplace that I see today. It's like going to a crap game. You really you spend your money, you take your chances. Be very careful. Anyway, the SPDR gold shares again sold 0.61 ton of gold into the market overnight, according to my records. And they're holding about $40.18 billion in reserve that they can continue to fiddle in the market with, of course. And there's also the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. They're not helping us out either. But if you look at the various and sundry prognosticators and bloggers, you wouldn't hear that SPDR mentioned, most likely. Everybody's talking about, well, what did the Chinese say and what's happening in Greece and this and that and the other thing. I doubt it. I think we've got manipulation going on in the marketplace. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 3 yesterday at 10,567. The Nasdaq closed up 18 at 2359, and the S&P up 5 at 1,146. Crude oil this morning, still a sea of red ink, losing 56 cents a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered in Oklahoma. They're running $81.53 a barrel on the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website. The USDX, also on the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website. The U.S. Dollar Index, that trade-weighted basket of currencies, off 3 basis points, trading at 80.38. In our basket of currencies here in the foreign exchange rates marketplace, the Canadian loonie, down 54 basis points, trades at 97 cents U.S. The Mexican peso loses 9 basis points at 8 cents U.S. The euro and loses 4 basis points, trades at $1.37. You can see this trend, huh? Well, the British pound was up a little bit, up 0.25% or a quarter of a percentage point there. Trades at $1.50 U.S. And the Swiss franc off 13 basis points, trades at 93 cents U.S. In the bond market, the two-year bonded indebtedness, the interest yield there, the yield on that bond is 0.92%. The 10-year is yielding 3.73 and the 30 at 4.70. And in the mortgage markets, the fixed rate, mortgage rate on a 15-year fixed mortgage moves down from 4.43 a month ago to 4.36% this morning. And the 30-year moves down from 5.13 to 5.01. That's the market news for today. And the hinterlands, certainly here in sunny southwest Missouri, we've got the government counters out, I guess you'd say, the census takers, these people that sell out their brethren and sistren for a $10 bill per hour plus the use of their automobile, their locomotive. They're out, they're about. We're looking forward in the mail with dread to April 1st. I guess that's when they're going to send out all of these questionnaires. Isn't it amazing? They're sending it out on April Fool's Day. Well, we'll see how many of the April Fools send it right back with all of their information divulged. But if you do happen to get a visit at the door, perhaps this information will help you out a little bit. This, from a series of handouts given to me at a recent meeting, public meeting, where we go and we voice our own grievances, one amongst the other. This, a public service questionnaire, might be useful. Key points. An American does not have to speak with a government agent unless the citizen has been arrested. Once again, we're talking about principals, agents, and third parties. But the author here of this handout says an American does not have to speak with a government agent unless the citizen has been arrested. Americans have a right to privacy and to be left alone. The Privacy Act of 1974, now realize that this was many years ago, my friends, and much has happened. So take this information with a grain of salt, verify it in your own research. But The Privacy Act of 1974, Public Law 93-579, if you want to look it up. Public Law 93-579, put that one in your browser. The Privacy Act of 1974 empowers citizens to require full written disclosure from a government official who seeks information. That's right. Full written disclosure from a government official who seeks information. This is the idea of turning the tables at the door and becoming vocal local. You may insist on complete disclosure as a precondition to speaking with any government official. Probably didn't know that, did you? The limits on federal power? Law-abiding citizens are sometimes visited by agents of the federal government for no apparent reason. Of course, it wouldn't be anything less than that with a census taker, because that's ostensibly a role of the federal government. So they are basically federal agents, federales, at your door. It is helpful at the time of these visits to recall that unless a citizen has been placed under arrest, either because a law enforcement officer has probable cause to believe the citizen has committed a crime, or because the officer has in possession an arrest warrant issued by a judge who believes there is probable cause the citizen has committed a crime. Whew, that was long. A citizen does not have to entertain the company of government agents. In other words, we don't have to set out the tea table. Crumpets and tea for the federale. No, not at all. Citizens also have the right, guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, not to testify against themselves. Thus, when the government comes and knocking on one's door, you have a right to simply say, please, go away. Well, we'll pick it up right there on the other side of this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at ChristosTrading.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
See the reality behind the illusions. Join us on the Iconoclast Report, Saturdays, 12 to 4 p.m., Shattering Paradigms, one show at a time.
So we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. We're looking at a public servant questionnaire, understanding that when the government federalis comes knocking on your door, you have a right to simply say, please go away. Of course, they might respond in kind and tase you immediately or just simply put a few 9mm rounds in your head, but that's where we've come from 1974 to the year 2010. In the Barry Usurper administration time period, I wouldn't put it past them to do anything. But as far as the census takers are concerned, this may be a way of rebuffing them. Again, you can simply say, please go away. If they don't, unless the government officer places you under arrest, I don't imagine that any of them are empowered to place you under arrest, but they might come with a sharif or a deputy or a constable or a gendarme, but there must be probable cause or an arrest warrant based on probable cause, and the officer must obey your wishes. That's some hopeful thinking, but anyway. Be helpful, he says. Again, I'm reading from something that was given to me at a meeting, but he says, be helpful on your terms. Of course, citizens also have a vested interest in assisting the government in its role of crime solver, so we can say that we have rights, but we also have corresponding duties. Most of us understand the need to help the government to apprehend criminals, but it's also helpful when the government arrives at your place of employment or at your home to know how to find out why government agents have appeared on your doorstep in the first place. A handy little questionnaire that I came across years ago will do the trick. It's called the Public Servant Questionnaire. A version accompanies this article. The PSQ, or the Public Service Questionnaire, was developed by Lynn Johnston, author of Who's Afraid of the IRS? The Libertarian Review Foundation, 1983, and then he lists the ISBN number of that book. Again, Lynn Johnston, the author of Who's Afraid of the IRS? The public service questionnaire is based on requirements placed upon the government by the Privacy Act of 1974, again, Public Law 93-579, and amending law to Title V of the United States Code, Section 552. So it's Title V, USC 552, and is included as Section 552A. So you've got, again, USC, Title V, USC 552 and 552A. Browse those right up. I'm sure you'd be looking at them as we speak. If a citizen chooses to cooperate with government officials who are seeking information before questioning begins, the citizen should politely inform the government agent or agents that a prerequisite for the citizen's cooperation with the government is the agent's cooperation with the citizen, you know, a little tit for tat here. And then he says, do it right the first time. The questions should then be put to each agent, and the citizen should enter the answers onto the questionnaire. In other words, you don't hand it to them to fill out. You ask the questions, and you are holding your little clipboard. As I've already set one up for myself, I have it ready for the time when the census person comes back again. Anyway, this is how this thing works out. Copies should be provided to each agent, either at the time of the questioning or by mail to the agent after the visit. So you'd want to have a business card or an address where they can send a copy of your questionnaire to them. The questionnaire informs the government agent that the citizen knows his rights and knows which limited powers the government agent has been granted by the people. Most probably, some government agents will not want to fill out or sign the PSQ, and that's fine. They can be sent on their merry way, although they may need to explain to their superiors and a court of law and a jury on another day why they refuse to cooperate with the reasonable questions of the highest office holder in the land, a citizen. And so then it proceeds and it lists them out. And this little questionnaire is rather handy. I can't offer it to you because I don't have a scanner, but there must be some way we can get this to you. So just, if you're interested at all, hang on over the weekend. I should have my computer up and running again by Monday to receive your emails. But you might, if you're interested at all in the public servants questionnaire, fire me off an email or drop a 3x5 card in the mail, and I'll see if I can't somehow or another get you one. I may just put it in a Xerox off a few and put it in an envelope and send it back to you. So here we go. And here's some of the things that you ask. Public servant's full name, their ID number, whether or not they've provided or refused it. In all of these cases, there's a little box for refused question mark. Their driver's license number, their badge number, their residence address, the city, the state, the zip, their office mailing address, street, city, state, and zip, the employing agency or department, their supervisor's name, and then here are the questions. Will the public servant uphold the Constitution of the United States of America as required by USA and state constitution and law, yes or no? Will the public servant furnish a copy of the law or regulation which authorizes this investigation, which is out of 5 U.S.C. 552A, yes or no? Will the public servant read aloud that portion of the law authorizing the questions public servant will ask? What prerogatives does the citizen have in giving answers to the public servant? What basis exists for asking the intended questions? What nature does this investigation have? Blah, 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 general or special? Does the public servant reasonably anticipate any information sought or collected in this investigation will form the basis of or lead to criminal action against a citizen? Will the public servant get, well, you get the idea. It goes on. There's 16 of them down here. And at the very end, it's a wedding signature of the public servant and the citizen's witnessing name and signature, administered oath, date, whatnot, blah, 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 blah. You get the idea? Before we start answering their questions, we have a few questions we'd like to ask of our own. And I think that would be a rather special thing to witness. I'd love to have that up on YouTube. Anyway, over the course of the last 20-some-odd broadcasts, we've been talking about the history of law. And of late, we've been talking about this very interesting and unusual relationship between the principal, the agent, and third parties. Kind of got interrupted there by the call yesterday, the last closing moments of the day, before we were able to really give out the summary of what we had discussed. And so we're going to go back into that today and close out some of that material. But I'd started into and began to share some information out of a book titled Representation, edited by Hannah Finichel Pitkin. And this is an Atherton controversy published out of the University of California, Berkeley, back in 1969. But it has a lot of information on this idea of representation and the impossibility of representation and the great enduring question, philosophic question about representation. And here in a section written by Harold Foote Gosnell, he talks along these lines. In their excellent, quote, Representative Government in Evolution, close quote, Charles A. Beard and John D. Lewis, definitely check those guys out, John Lewis and Charles Beard, decided that, quote, the modern idea of representation can be broken into three component parts. And remember again that your agent is a representative. He represents the principal. And at once, a political candidate or a public law officer, what should I say, Will? A politician? An elected official, that would be the correct way of saying it. An elected official is at once a representative of the party, the D or the R, the I or the C or the L. They're at once a representative of the party and ostensibly a representative of you, the constituent, or the citizen, or the voter, or the highest power of the land. We'll pick it up right there on the other side of this and come back. Harold Foote Gosnell.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine, from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, we find that from the writings of Charles A. Beard and John D. Lewis in an article titled Pleasing the Constituents, written by Harold Foote Gosnell. This article in their book, Representative Government and Evolution, Beard and Lewis write this. The modern idea of representation can be broken into three component parts. Again, listen for the PTA in all of this, the Parent Teachers Association. No. The principal, the agent, and the third parties. The idea of representation can be broken into three component parts. One, a representative person or group has power to act for or in place of another person or group. Now, you couldn't get right more into the Uniform Commercial Code and business law than that, but we are talking about politicians. We're talking about the political process here. Two, the representative is elected by those for whom he is to act. Again, an absolute mirror to the principal, the agent, and the third parties considered in business law. Three, The representative is responsible for his acts to those whom he represents. We hear about responsible, responsible, responsible. Rarely ever do we hear the word accountable used, but we can accept it as being responsible for his act. The agent is always responsible for his own acts, even if a tort can be brought against the principal or third parties. But the agent never gets to skate, only in America. Do we allow the cretins in Washington, D.C. in our state houses to get off scot-free without a perp walk? But not many would agree that the representative is only to act for his group, which elects him. Many representatives act for themselves or for others who do not elect them. Much truth in that statement, especially after we've studied a little bit of business law, and we understand that hidden third party, the unseen hand. Sometimes it's the unseen or the hidden or the secret principal. Many people shift their votes when acts by a representative affect them positively or negatively. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt did not represent the same people in 1936 that he did in 1933. The lower income groups had swung more preponderantly in the direction of the New Deal. A final criticism of the above definition is that it is a definition of representative government and not of representation. Very important. One evidence of this is a quotation following the above one from Bearden Lewis, quote, "When we define representative government in simple terms, as above, we arbitrarily lay out a little land of rational certainty and speak in the language of autonomy. This is not enough, for representative government is merely one phase of the whole process of civilization. And those who speak of it as it were a Victorian bustle to be put on or entirely discarded at will display a woeful ignorance of history." There's truth to that, my friends. Much truth. Thus, the writers have intertwined representation with representative government. The distinction must be insisted upon. We definitely need to look deeper than just that little bustle tied on behind us. Since we have not as yet defined representation, we must arrive at the distinction by showing a frequent lack of correlation. On a purely a priori level, one easily sees that a man can act in agreement with another man using powers which might belong to the second man without any electoral process. We do that every day. You do that in your families as well. Of course, representation may be defined to include only the agreement which follows the election. We do not insist upon the quote-unquote truth of definitions. We do here. But the failure to solve some of the most important problems of representation has been due to a neglect or refusal to distinguish between these two concepts, which ought to have been distinguished for the sake of clarity and scientific value. And it continues. Lots of stuff in here. Lots of very interesting stuff in here about this. Drop down a bit. I'll pass over quite a chunk. Talk about the economic man who functioned with omniscience in the field of supply and demand. There were the extreme democratic doctrines of persons like Rousseau, who thought each man could judge what were his peculiar wants and that he needed no society to define or implement his interests. Rousseau significantly denounced representation as a specious principle which deprived the people of their sovereignty. Then the bourgeois liberal thinkers saw society in terms of their social set and visualized a representative system judged by individuals of their ilk. Each rational man could criticize, instruct, and learn from his representative. Interests, as they conceived them, were patent and explicit, and each man was supposed to know what his representative was doing and so could judge the latter's actions in adequately. A lot of discussion these days about whether there should or should not, ought or ought not be government in general. That we don't need government. We don't need a piece of paper to tell us what to do. Blah, 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 blah. Bow, wow, woof, woof. Little guy chained to his doghouse. Forgot about the whole big world. Take him off the chain and all of a sudden he'll freak out. Anyway, here's a new definition. The great confounder in the study of representation is not the rather simple distinction between representative government and representation, nor the manipulative problem of getting everyone represented. It is, rather, the large number of cases of power wielding where the subject feels no desires, where acts of the power wielder are done without consultation with the subjects. Many of the difficulties come in cases where there is no mode of communication between ruler and subject except unconscious thought processes and patterns. A working definition of representation should include the possibilities of delving into these cases. One way of avoiding the difficulty is to define the term so as to exclude any unconscious representation. This may be done explicitly or implicitly. Avid Democrats tend to avoid such cases because they define representation in terms of other institutional structures of democracy. Such an approach only confuses the basic issues. In order to be adequately studied, representation must be viewed apart from the complex of concepts which create any particular political ideology. There's a lot more of all that in there. So we look at this idea of representation and understand that we're dealing with a rather complex topic. We look at our government and wonder about what's wrong with the system and what we need to do to repair it. But we do need to realize that this has been funk out. We got think tanks all around the place that are funking about politics all the time, trying to figure out how to get this thing to work, how to jumpstart this machine, largely so that they can gain either the proximity to or complete control of the power of governments, which is primarily what political parties are all about. But our founders weren't discussing political parties when they created the Constitution. They were looking at a system of government much the same way as Aristotle said in his day in writing The Politics, that in a republic, the Constitution is the government. Sometimes we fail to understand that the Constitution is a framework. The representatives are the human man, human body, flesh men that fill it out. Fill in all those steps that the Constitution provides for. Let's go back in time a little bit. Back to Francois Guizot, The History of the Origins of Representative Government in Europe. Stepping away from Berkeley, California, and some of the more moderns. This from his lecture number 15, Philosophical Examination of the Electoral System in England in the 14th Century. The system was the natural result of facts. Who were the electors? Four principles which determined the solution of these questions. Begins this way. The facts adduced in my previous lecture prove that the electoral system of England in the 14th century is determined by no philosophical combination, by no general intention. Just kind of rose up. Reminds me of Peter F. Drucker's book, The Concept of Corporation, wherein he talks about in society, men come up with instruments, not guitars and violins and clarinets, but instruments. And they use those instruments, tools, social instruments, whatever, economic tools, for some period of time. And then those tools, those instruments, become institutionalized. And as soon as man institutionalizes or enshrines or enthrones his instruments and they become institutions, then they begin to decay. They become outmoded. And they'll need to be replaced or refreshed. So we'll pick up right there on the other side. What's the time? Oh, no.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com. The official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powdered seeds and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, our author, Francois Guiteau, writing a history of the representative system of government in Europe in his day. These lectures were published back in the 1820s. He writes on and he continues, this system arose naturally and spontaneously out of facts. Its study is therefore more curious and interesting. Modern times are full of science and artifice. Institutions do not now become developed with simplicity and freedom. Under the pretext of giving them regularity, things are distorted to suit some particular interest or to accommodate a theory. You see, prior to Hegel here, we're talking about the dialectic. Thesis, antithesis, moving towards a predetermined outcome, the synthesis, to suit some particular interest or to accommodate a theory, Guizot writes. Nothing of this nature occurred in the formation of the British Parliament. Science did not then exist and cunning was unnecessary. Science did not then exist and cunning was unnecessary, experts say. The House of Commons was not of sufficient importance for the executive to be much disturbed about its origin. The office of a member for a county or a borough was not enough sought after to induce different interests and parties to direct all their instruments of warfare and stratagems of policy to this end. Representatives of the country were required, who were to be chosen by the method of election, but this election had no occasion to adapt itself to a theory or to be false in any way. It's an election, folks. ballots. Just drop your ball in the box, son. In such a state of society, the electoral system might be vicious and incomplete in a thousand ways. Its forms might be irregular and destitute of all needful guarantees, but its general principles would be natural and sound. And so we began here in this country from this idea of a natural and sound system. Sans a lot of the politics and science, and things percolated along quite nicely, especially in the period of happiness that ensued around Thomas Jefferson's leadership. Dropping down a little further in all of this, the same system has been applied to the rights and liberties of citizens. It's easy here to discern the triumph of the fondness for analysis which characterized the last century. Again, we're looking at this enumeration of the legislative power, the executive power, the electoral power, the judicial power, and the administrative power, and every effort of science exerted to make these different powers coexist while maintaining among them a rigorous distinction and enjoining upon them never to fall into confusion, nor even to assimilate their offices and actions. This today we still understand as the separation of powers doctrine. This same system has been applied to the rights and liberties of citizens. It's easy here to discern the triumph of the fondness for analysis which characterized the last century. The fondness for analysis. As I like to say, if you spend too much time in that analysis, be careful that you don't develop the paralysis of analysis and spend all of your time thinking and none of your time doing. I have to remind myself of that daily as well. But analysis is a method of study, not of creation. Do you understand that? Analysis is a method of study, not of creation. It's not sufficient to know a thing. It's what you do with what you know that matters. The spirit of analysis is scientific, but never political. In politics, whether dealing with rights or powers, the object is to create real, vital forces capable either of enforcing obedience or resisting oppression. Think of it along that line. Enforcing obedience or resisting oppression. This can never be attained by analysis, for in reality, actual life is a very complicated matter, requiring the union and amalgamation of a multitude of different elements, each modified and sustained by the others. Analysis elucidates and separates into parts, but never constructs. This truth is demonstrated by the political history of our own times. Now, this written a long time ago, almost 200 years ago. All these powers and rights so carefully enumerated and distinguished by science, so narrowly enclosed within specified limits, were found in the time of action, to be destitute of consistency, energy, and reality. It once was a time of action. The time of action. Revolution and counter-revolution, the time of action. It was decreed that the legislative power should be absolutely separated from the executive power, the judicial power from the administrative, the municipal from the electoral power. Liberties and rights have been isolated and dissected, just in the same way as powers in their isolated condition have become centralized or lost in the hand of an individual or collective despotism, which alone was powerful and real because it was alone was other than a theoretical design or a scientific conception. When it gets translated into action, it becomes real. They pass a law that impacts our lives. Our representatives, the agents, impacting the principle through their actions with or without instruction. Sometimes influenced by the third party, sometimes influenced by an unseen principle, but the agents are action. They are change agents. It may be fearlessly affirmed that rights, like public powers, will never regain reality and energy until they escape from this pretended science, which under the pretext of classifying, enervates and nullifies them, and until, united by positive ties, they mutually rest on one another and coalesce to bring about the same results. Doubtless, the great analytical labor performed in our own time will not prove fruitless. Many well-grounded distinctions and necessary limitations will be maintained. All powers will not again fall into general confusion, nor will all rights become concentrated. There is some truth and usefulness in the results of the social dissection which has been performed. But if it were to be perpetuated, if rights and powers were to remain in the state of isolation and dissolution in which science has placed them at the present day, we should never possess either government or freedom. I like the way this guy writes. So long ago. So we have this malaise that lays over the people. We have this paralysis of analysis. How many of the experts, all the think tanks, everybody is looking and researching and all of that, running their keyboards at full tilt boogie while their bottoms grow wider and wider and wider. All of the analysis, but no application. No action. Inaction. It's all of this analysis that gets you the hockey stick model of man-made global warming. Lots of analysis, lots of number crunching, but there's no action. If you just step outside and walk around a little bit, you'd realize that your premise was faulty. You would go no further with it. You certainly wouldn't post it any place for want of embarrassment. It was necessary to summon together the principal men in the kingdom, merchants, landowners, and others, that they might assist in particular public business. That's exactly as true today as it was when he wrote these words in 1820. It is necessary to summon together the principal men in the kingdom, merchants, landowners, and others, that they might assist in particular public business. Oh, idea of a town hall meeting. Becoming vocal local. Forming a local voting precinct group. Bringing together the merchants, the landowners, and others, that we might assist in particular public business. I go to a school board meeting. I'm the only one there that wasn't elected to be there. What is wrong with that? I don't even have children. But this was never imagined to be the creation of a new right or a new power. Established rights and existing powers were called upon to exercise this new function and to appear under this new form. The freeholders, that is to say, every free and veritable landowner, a freeholder, every free and veritable landowner, used to assemble in the county courts to administer justice and to treat together of common interests. Well, pick up what we used to do, and maybe we can figure out what we ought to do now, right after these words from our sponsors, and we'll begin hour number two.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, the 11th of March, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now going into our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We come to you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. The first hour today, we're doing some mental calisthenics, and we're going to continue with that, flexing our brain muscle a little bit, trying to find out a little bit more about this concept of agency, the idea of principals, agents, and third parties, the rather nasty little concept of representation, spouted by many, understood by few. And we're digging into this a little deeper, referring to texts old and new. Although nothing on the table this morning was published anything later than the 1980s. So about all of this stuff is 30 years back. There's a reason for that. But before we go back into Francois Guizot, let me share a little bit from this book. It's called Constitutionalism, Ancient and Modern. Charles Howard MacLean, the editor here, the compiler. And this, a Liberty Fund book. But this has to do a little bit with Thomas Paine. Starting in any place would be fine, but let's start in here. If then Bolingbroke is right in what he says of the Septennial Act, if that statute would have seemed nothing less than monstrous to the revolutionists of 1688, that would be the Glorious Revolution, England, it seems clear to those revolutionists the dictum of Northington and Mansfield in 1776, so strenuously opposed by Camden and the Americans at the time, that, quote, every government can arbitrarily impose laws on all its subjects, close quote, would have been tenfold more monstrous. What is it that makes Barry the Usurper and the boys think that they can impose arbitrarily laws that will impact all of the subjects? In fact, the author continues here, on the basis of this and other evidence, it seems no exaggeration to say that the Whig theory of the state after 1760 is hardly to be distinguished from the principles of James II, which had brought on the Revolution of 1688. In one, as in the other, the government assumed authority to impose laws arbitrarily. And, my dear listeners, you understand that to be legal positivism. Whatever the prince, in this case James II of England and Scotland, no doubt, but whatever the prince says has the force of law. Legal positivism. It's not law, it just has the force of law, and through your compliance it becomes such. And that, we discovered yesterday, is known as ratification. But in one, as in the other, the government assumed authority to impose laws arbitrarily. Can you say Jorge Bush? The only difference lay in the fact that in one case, this arbitrary government was under control of an unreformed parliament, and that in the other, it was dominated by the will of a despotic king, or a usurper, or Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Even the conservative Burke, we'll get to Burke, see how conservative he was. Even the conservative Burke was candid enough as late as 1791 to admit that the Englishmen of North America who in 1775 rebelled against such an arbitrary rule, quote, stood in the same relation to England as England did to King James II in 1688. If the principles of 1688 had persisted unchanged, one might well doubt whether there would have ever been an American Revolution. Dropping down a little here, picking up Thomas Paine. Paine, in saying that a constitution must always be antecedent to any rightful government, was laying down a political maxim, not a rule of English law. Thomas Paine, author of Republican.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on our Thursday, March the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now entering our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, we come to you live Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. Go on that homepage, click on the show archives link there on the left-hand side. You can open up Become Vocal Local and access a year of these broadcasts. Free downloads are available. You can also get the high-speed stream, become a member, Oracle member. There's so much more to do there. There's the Oracle Store and then all of the rest of the other hosts and their broadcasts. If you are a fan of one particular broadcast, do take time and scan around a little bit, I think you'll find that 7 days a week we provide excellent content for your listening and learning experience. And certainly I try to do that here each and every morning. Big shout out again this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local, and thanks for tuning in this morning if you're listening on the terrestrial radio systems. Our call-in number throughout the broadcast is 866-841-1065, the contact information, and so much more. Available on the oraclebroadcasting.com webpage. Let's go back in our discussion here, continuing, and we're going to look at Thomas Paine on the Constitution. Many consider him to be the father of republicanism. But Thomas Paine, in saying that a constitution must always be antecedent, in other words, it comes first, to any rightful government, was laying down a political maxim, not a rule of established English law. And whether we subscribe or not to the characterization of Thomas Paine by a former president of the United States as a dirty little atheist, in which every single item seems to be inaccurate, we must, I think, at least agree that the analysis Paine made of the early American Constitution was remarkably acute. The significant points in that analysis are these: that there is a fundamental difference between a people's government and that people's constitution, whether the government happens to be entrusted to a king or to a representative assembly, that this constitution is antecedent to the government, that it defines the authority which the people commits to its government and in so doing thereby limits it, that any exercise of authority beyond these limits by any government is an exercise of power without right, that in any state in which the distinction is not actually observed between the Constitution and the government, there is in reality no Constitution. It becomes just a GD piece of paper surrounded by brass and under glass, right? According to Jorge Bush. Because the will of the government has no check upon it, and that state is, in fact, a despotism. Written a couple of weeks ago, folks, at the founding of this great country, by one of those that helped to make this great country a great country on the map. One thing alone Paine fails to make fully clear: if a government exercises some, quote-unquote, power without right, it seems to be necessarily implied that the people have a corresponding right to resist. Isn't that what we've been saying right here on this network, right on this broadcast? Become Vocal Local. Just say no. Your silence so often becomes your assent. But is this a legal or is it only a political right? The author continues, is such resistance a legalized rebellion or merely an extra-legal revolution? Or further, is it possible to incorporate in the framework of the state itself some provision or institution by which a governmental act or command ultra vires may be declared to be such and subjects, therefore, exempted from its operation and released from any obligation to observe or to obey it? Do we have to obey these extra-constitutional or unconstitutional edicts from above? In short, can government be limited legally and effectively by any method short of force? To these questions, Paine gives no clear answer. It might be assumed that forcible resistance to power without right must itself be legal and not revolutionary. But in every case, there seems no recourse except to force of some kind. Many different ways that you can express force. Don't buy. Don't comply, and ask why. An interesting beginning in the concept of force. Let's go back to Francois Guizot, because we're going to start entering onto the precinct-based electoral system as we continue this brief reading. Once again, there was never imagined to be the creation of a new right or a new power. It was necessary to summon together the principal men in the kingdom, merchants, landowners, and others that they might assist in particular public business. What was the first building that the colonists built so frequently? It was the combination church, storehouse, armory, schoolhouse, and town hall. It helped them get it through the first year. Oftentimes they enclosed it with palisades. Why did they make the center aisle of their churches so broad? Well, so that they had a place to lie down their muskets and swords and victuals and coats and cloaks, having traveled from wherever they had to the meeting hall. Were they in church the full day? They may have been in that building that they were probably talking about business and self-defense and self-reliance and who's to do what this coming week and next and so on. We kind of lost that spirit of the local voting precinct and the town hall, haven't we? But again, this was never imagined to be the creation of a new right or a new power. Established rights and existing powers were called upon to exercise this new function and to appear under this new form. The freeholders, that is to say, every free and veritable landowner, used to assemble in the county courts to administer justice and to treat together of common interests. And these county courts were charged with the nomination of representatives. In towns of any importance, the citizens, under forms more or less liberal, regulated their own affairs, chose their own magistrates, and exercised in common certain rights and powers, and these municipal corporations were required to send members to Parliament. Thus, the assemblies which we now designate electoral colleges were never at that period, as they are now, special and isolated assemblies, invested with a temporary duty and in other aspects unconnected with the administration of the country. County courts and municipal corporations, which are already firmly planted and established and possessed inherent strength, were constituted into electoral colleges. Thus, the electoral system from its origin was united with every right and institution and with almost every local and real power. It was the extension and the development of existing liberties, a powerful force added to other forces previously in action and exercising government over other interests. It was not in that one place there were merely electors, in another administrators and elsewhere judges. But there was a body of citizens who participated in the administration of their local affairs. Well, that's become vocal local. Look like that.
You owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. go to teamspeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Continuing our examination into this unusual little formula of PAT, PAT, the principals and the agents and the third parties, considering that in the lens of the political scientist, looking at it from the standpoint of representation, and understanding in a more modern terminology just how very important it is today, as it has always been, to obtain voluntary compliance or public buy-in on these various and sundry edicts. We talked about that ratification yesterday. Someone doesn't know. If you'd like to be on the radio, I am on the air now. You can certainly call in at 866-841-1065. I normally do a broadcast at this time of day. Thank you. Brother, doing this for almost 2 years and people still call me in the middle of the morning. Anyway, voluntary compliance. Reliance is entirely on voluntary compliance. A posture signaled by the use of should, or rather than shall. You should do this, you should do that, as opposed to shall, which gets to be a little bit legal, doesn't it? But the use of should, rather than shall, in all reform rules. The small semantic difference between should and shall could have a large influence on the state party's response to the new national party rules. Quote, Republicans speak, for example, of positive action, close quote, rather than of the Democrats, quote-unquote, affirmative action. And that's out of Choosing the President, League of Women Voters, 1976, on page 35, rather revealing voluntary compliance. Reliance is entirely on voluntary compliance. Here's a little bit from Thomas Jefferson. He said, quote, these wards, called townships in New England, are the vital principle of their governments, and have proved themselves the wisest invention ever devised by the wit of man for the perfect exercise of self-government and for its preservation. And again, quote, these little republics would be the main strength of the great one. We owe to them the vigor given to our revolution in its commencement in the eastern states, close quote. That I found in B.A. Hinsdale's The American Government, published in 1895. Very interesting, isn't it? These wards called townships, these little republics, the main strength of the great one. And yet, we've turned our backs on the precincts. We'll find out why in a moment. Back to our discussion here again. Thus, the electoral system, from its origin, was united with every right and institution and with almost every local and real power. It was the extension and the development of existing liberties, a powerful force added to the other forces previously in action and exercising government over other interests. It was not that in one place there were mere electors and another administrators and elsewhere judges, but there was a body of citizens who participated in the administration of local affairs and in rendering justice, and who elected deputies for transaction of general business. It is easily understood that thus being deeply rooted in the community at large and closely united to all other powers, the electoral power, to employ the language of the present day, our author Francois Guizot writes, the electoral power was defended from every vicissitude through which we have seen it pass when attempts have been made to establish it by itself in some particular aspect or combination. There's a lot more here. We'll come back to that in a bit. Back over here to this one and take a look at this. Again, talking about this new definition, the new definition in the article Pleasing the Constituents by Harold Foote Gosnell, a new definition of representation. Representative democracies, pleasing the constituents. Representation is a condition that exists when the characteristics and the acts of one vested with public functions are in accord with the desires of one or more persons to whom the functions have objective or subjective importance, that by Alfred de Gracia. He starts out this section this way. In the realm of theory, the most important question confronting the Western democracies, I resent the use of that term, but if he's talking about Europe, he'd be correct, is whether representation does or does not make a difference. Does it or doesn't it make a difference? If it makes no difference at all, then we can just set aside the idea of restoring our constitutionally limited republican form of representative government, shake the dust off our sandals, and move on down the road. But if it does make a difference, perhaps we should do what we can do to preserve the institution. If representation is irrelevant to democracy, it can be abandoned. If it is necessary to democracy, I hate that word, but we'll just let him have it for a moment, it must be preserved and fostered. If certain types of representation are more conducive to democracy, they must be preferred to others. The nature of representation, therefore, must be considered at some length. The problem here is to determine whether or not there is only an inconsequential relativity, and that is, we're talking about different parts and pieces of the puzzle. We can list what we should like to find out about representation. First, how is representative power gained and held? What are the techniques of gaining and holding power in a representative government? What manner of men become leaders of a representative government? Second, we should like to know the relationship between popular governing of government and representation, their mutual dependence, and interacting effects must be discovered. Third, we shall examine the peculiarities of the different devices and systems of representation as they have sprung up in various countries. The problem here, again, is to determine whether or not there is only an inconsequential relativity. Are systems of representation, like the domiciles of different ant tribes, merely equivalent and effective ways of doing the same thing? For the consideration of these questions, there must be an adequate definition of representation, with parts capable of being sliced off in turn to give further illumination, like a splinter from a flaming log. And he continues, a lot to be understood here. But each act and each individual it affects are taken together in determining whether representation exists. There are many cases where an individual is subject to an exercise of power which he dislikes, though the power wielder represents a majority of the society. This is the problem with democracies. Their representation does not exist so far as concerns this person. Whether or not representative government exists becomes another matter. The word act, quote-unquote act, is chosen deliberately instead of the phrase act of power. If the latter were used, it would have to be expanded indefinitely to the obliteration of its customary meaning. To take an example, State Representative Doe from a nondescript district delivers a speech with which few members of the House sympathize or to which even few listen. Check that out on C-SPAN. See it on a daily basis. The speech is not an act of power in any functional meaning of the term power. All the things that Ron Paul has said to himself in a room with six other people and the speaker. But it offends a minority group in his district. They feel unrepresented, though no power has been directed against them. They probably feel strongly enough because of the mere speech to overweigh favorable impressions they may have gained from Doe's previous acts of power on their behalf. Likewise, a number of constituents may like his picture with a pretty wife and a child, though they dislike his voting $50,000 to construct a useless dam. They may desire a handsome family in a public position more than they dislike the dam. Boy, doesn't that sum up American politics? Well, be right back.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, back once again. You know, I love looking at all these books. There's so much involved in this. One of Thomas Paine's most fundamental assertions, again, is that a true constitution is always antecedent to the actual government in a state. And on such an assumption, the only true constitution would appear to be a written constitution of a type familiar enough to us since 1776, but scarcely thought of before, except perhaps for a dozen years in the middle of the 17th century in England. This narrow and novel definition of a constitution may have been the one that Paine had in mind and the prominence in his political thought of the notion of a definite historical compact between the government and the governed makes it more probable. Precedent was the very life of these institutions, as it was of all law. It was the retention of ancient liberties for which liberals thought they were fighting, not the creation of new ones a priori. Well, buddy, look out. Liberals. Listen carefully. For some of the earlier of these, quote, liberal conservatives, close quote, the safeguarding of necessary liberals seems to have implied the preservation intact of the customary law of the nation in its entirety. Sir Edward Coke, for example, appears to have thought that nothing less than the whole body of the English common law must be kept inviolate if the liberty of the subject was to be protected against arbitrary rule. For him, the whole of the common law was, in a sense, fundamental. He was still thinking in medieval fashion of law as custom, and all customary law had for him a higher sanction than legislation of any kind. Liberty, in his mind, was far from the abstract notion of the period of enlightenment. It still consisted, as in earlier ages, of specific, concrete rights, and of the whole body of these specific rights. He thought in terms of rights, not of right, of liberties, not liberty. And he identified these concrete liberties with franchises. As you've heard me say in the past, with each passing generation, what was liberal before becomes conservative in the next generation. We have all of these right-wing conservatives championing the liberal philosophical radicalism of our founders. Wouldn't know how to define liberal or radical if it fell on their toe. Thomas Jefferson says, I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education, which we do here every morning in our little internet homeschool classroom, becoming vocal, local, as we love to do. There's certainly no end of comparisons. Let's see if I can get that comparison right here. We talk about PAT, the principals, the agents, and the third parties. We talk about the principles of business law as it relates to representation and government. Well, yeah. Here we go again. Let's put it this way. The idea of agency, which clings to the term, also substantiates the inclusion of the word characteristics. The idea of agency, which clings to the term here, representation. It is true that the only interest of the principal in his agent is in the latter's acts. Not what he says, but what he does. But those acts are supposed to be, and legally must be, based on the assumption of certain characteristics of the principal. The agent is supposed to look through the eyes of his principal. Can we then say that the reverse is not true, and that the person seeking representation should not judge the acts of his agent by his characteristics? An interesting etymological fact bolsters the idea that representation should include characteristics of the power holder. The development of the Latin word persona, person, evolved offshoots with different meanings. One of the meanings of impersonare, or to impersonate, was to represent, as impersonators, was to represent, as in a corporation. In other words, quote, to possess the characteristics of, close quote, someone or something seems to have been all the time a connotation of the word, quote unquote, representation. Even when representation has a wider meaning than agency, it includes more than acts. Even when it has a wider meaning than agency, so we speak right when we talk about the relationship between representation and the Uniform Commercial Code and its treatment of principals, agents, and third parties. So we go into the precinct itself. much ink has been spilled on this one. Of course, after Auguste Comte came up with his idea of sociology, where we actually slipped man into a petri dish and slid him under a high-powered microscope and made man and the study of mankind, homo sapiens, a new science called sociology, and out of these various and sundry social sciences springs political science. And we can understand a little bit about the influence of precinct work on voting behavior. No one wants to talk about the local voting precinct, and there are reasons why. The county committee man and the county committee woman being the actual members of the Missouri Republican Party, the GOP here in Missouri, very likely if you would get the bylaws of your favorite political faith, you would find the same where you are. What is it, all this precinct stuff, county committee men and county committee women, the precinct worker? Well, this by Raymond Wolfinger. This is out of a text. This is another one of these readers, a comparative study of party organization edited by William Wright, published contemporary, by the way, with our business law. This published in 1971 by Charles E. Merrill Publishing and our Dillavue and Howard's Principles of Business Law, 9th edition, published in 1971 by Prentice Hall. Contemporary with the representation here by Hannah Finichel Pitkin, which we referred to from the University of California, Berkeley, Berserkly, published in 1969. One might anticipate going to the university at this time period. All three of these books may have been required reading, or at least selections from them. And in a comparative study of party organization, these are selected readings that might be assigned to someone studying political science, most likely. Raymond Wolfinger writes this: most politicians believe that precinct work wins votes. I'll re-emphasize that, reiterate it. Most politicians believe that precinct work wins votes. Does much more than that, but it certainly has that power. This, the author continues, would seem also to be the verdict of common sense. But since direct evidence on the impact of party activity is hard to find, until recently, social scientists, Comteans, positivists, have reserved judgment on its efficacy. In the past several years, research has confirmed the politicians' faith in precinct work, although in the particular election studied, its influence was, for the most part, rather slight. So you can see that from the time of Thomas Jefferson, where he says these wards called townships in New England are the vital principle of their governments, from that time period forward, much has changed. The emphasis has shifted. Entered Edward Bernays. Enter the controlled, Rockefeller controlled originally, the idea of controlling the media, all of the principal organs and mouthpieces, taking away the work at the precinct, taking away the town hall meeting, so to speak, sawing off a critical link between we the people, so to speak, and our government. But here's the testimony. In the past several years, research has confirmed that the politicians' faith in precinct work, although in the particular election studied, its influence was for the most part rather slight. In the study reported here, precinct work was found to have a considerable impact, however, on voting. It is likely that the difference between this finding and that of previous research is due in part to the differences in the electoral decisions involved in the various instances. This paper thus confirms recent findings on the impact of party activity and also suggests some conditions under which that impact will vary. And boy, does it ever continue. It gets into the nth detail in this, but one of many technical papers presented in this work. I'll just continue a bit further. Precinct work, including door-to-door canvassing, check-off registration lists, transportation to the polls, babysitting services, and various other interpersonal electioneering techniques, has two goals. Getting the maximum number of favorably inclined people registered and then to the polls, and convincing voters to support the right ticket. See how distorted it becomes? We have this spirit of division, established two-party political system, where people's rights, this discussion. It's all about getting people to the polls, folks. We can come to this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Sliding into the last segment of today's two-hour broadcast, we'll conclude with these ideas. Again, going back and visiting with Dillavu and Howard's Principles of Business Law, 9th edition, 1971, Prentice Hall edition. Deep into chapter 36, agents' power to appoint sub-agents. So if you can think of your political party, you know, your politician as an agent, their power to appoint sub-agents. Certainly every one of you can wrap your mind around that, all of these unelected boards and councils, right? This is what they say in the business law here. Agents are usually selected because of their personal qualifications. Didn't we hear about that? You know, the poster boy with the pretty wife and children. Went to a local high school, went to a state university, then returned and has, I don't know, some kind of a business in town. Maybe he's a veterinarian or something. Agents are usually selected because of their personal qualifications. Whether they know a ding-dang thing about the political science or not. Owing to these elements of trust and confidence, there's a confidence again, what a con game, right? A general rule has developed that an agent may not delegate his duty to someone else and clothe the latter with authority to bind the principal. You understand? Underline that. I did. I highlighted it too. Owing to these elements of trust and confidence, a general rule has developed that an agent may not delegate his duty to someone else and clothe the latter with authority to bind the principal. But you know as well as I do that we always hear, well, you know, as far as government is concerned, they are understaffed, overworked, and underpaid. Then they always want to have hiring more and more people, and they need a bigger and a bigger building, and it goes on exponentially. In government, it's move up, move out, or die, right? Go into Goldman Sachs for a while, come out of the Sachs, and go right back into government, go back out of the Goldman Sachs, go right back into government, you know, around and around, Monsanto, the revolving door. An exception, however, again, we're talking about the Uniform Commercial Code here. An exception has arisen to this rule in those cases in which the acts of the agent are purely ministerial or mechanical. Would you say that our wooden dummy, Barry the Usurper, like a little wooden dummy, a marionette, sits on Geppetto's lap, a hook in his jaw, fingers tied to his little brown fingers, and the puppeteer just kind of gives him this mechanical thing? Would you say that your agents are purely ministerial? You see how he juts his jaw out and looks around to the teleprompters in the room and looks so ministerial and mechanical? Huh? If that's the case, then maybe this exception applies. An exception has arisen to this rule in those cases in which the acts of the agent are purely ministerial or mechanical. An act that requires no discretion and is purely mechanical may be delegated by the agent to a third party. You'll know it's in the bill after we pass it. Such a delegation does not make the third party the agent of the principal, or give him any action against the principal for compensation unless the agent has impliedly authorized to obtain this assistance. They start off with Department of Homeland Security with, what was it, 170,000 employees anticipated? What is it now? The acts of such third party become in reality the acts of the agent and bind the principal if they are within the authority given to the agent. You call up your senator or your congressman or your state representative or your state senator's office, and there's always a different voice, but it's never the voice of your representative. The acts of such third parties become in reality the acts of the agent and bind the principal if they are within the authority given to the agent. Acts which involve the exercise of skill, discretion, or judgment may not be delegated without permission from the principal. Look in the Constitution. Does it lay out what skill or discretion or judgment is anticipated or required of your elected official? I don't think so. It's not in mine. Acts which involve the exercise of skill, discretion, or judgment may not be delegated without permission from the principal. We are the principal in this, by the way. In a republic, all the power resides with the people. The case of the authorized salesman for a local insurance agent seems to offer a slight exception to this rule, blah, blah, blah. An agent may, under certain circumstances, have the actual or implied authority to appoint other agents for the principal, in which case they become true employees of the principal and are entitled to be compensated by him. So in that case, now we're at the master and servant level. Now we're at the employer-employee level. So you've got some appointee that was appointed by some elected official, say your county assessor, and you go in to the assessor's office Now you're dealing with an employee, unless you're talking to the employee, unless you're talking to the assessor. The assessor would be your agent. And the one behind the desk, the employee, a public employee. Again, an agent may, under certain circumstances, have the actual or implied authority to appoint other agents for the principal, in which case they become true employees of the principal and are entitled to be compensated by him. They get a portion of your tax take. Such a power on the part of the agent is not often implied. But if the situation is such that the major power conferred cannot be exercised without the aid of other agents, the agent is authorized to hire such help as is required, always overworked, understaffed, and underpaid. They know this. It's a common mantra. As long as you believe it, they have the authority to exercise that power. Thus, a manager placed in charge of a branch store may be presumed to possess the authority to hire the necessary personnel the size of the business demands. Continue to grow the size of business, you can continue to hire more people. And that goes right back to the precinct. Because now we're talking about patronage. Patronage jobs. When you support the party and you work diligently at the local voting precinct level, you become known to the county committee men and the county committee women who make up the parties, and when the party holds power, they look first to all those that supported the party for these various and sundry appointments. Maybe you could be the local license agent where you sell the license plates for the automobiles and the trucks and the cars and the buses and the planes and the boats in your county. Why? Well, because you always turn out at the pie feeds and at the bean feeds and at the pig roasts. You keep your membership in the Republican Party paid up in full. Here's a conclusion from Mr. Wolfinger's research. The much greater importance of precinct work as a variable in the charter elections as compared with the 1956 presidential elections in Detroit may be explained not only by the vaster, stronger party organizations in New Haven, but also by the different character of the two elections. For one thing, quote, regular organizations usually are not strongly impelled to maximum exertion in presidential elections, where the outcome has so little to do with the distribution of their customary rewards, jobs, contracts, and favoritism. Jobs, contracts, and favoritism. Who cares who gets elected president? Doesn't affect us in the one iota. What we want to do is run Detroit into the ground. All-out effort is usually reserved for elections for local offices, control of the party organization, and occasional referenda that threaten the organization's interests. These are often contests about which most voters know little and care less. As the precinct captain quoted earlier remarked, quote, if they, the voters, have their own opinions on certain top offices, I just ask them to vote my way on the lower offices where they usually have no preferences anyway. Getting out into your precinct and working with the people, building a local voting precinct group becomes important at this time. All across America, there are empty voting precincts. There are no county committee men or county committee women there. These are wide open, fertile fields for activation, local party activation. Right now, the 2010 Missouri election calendar is running. Are you on the ballot in your area? If not, can you be? If you can be, why aren't you on that ballot? Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.